forgive them. And God says, go forgive them even though they did you wrong. You answer, Lord, that doesn't make any sense. Jesus says things like this. If somebody hits you on one side of your face, and we know this doesn't mean literally, but Jesus said, turn the other cheek. In other words, we don't go an eye for an eye or a tooth for tooth. You did me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong. Now, Jesus said, forgive them. So oftentimes, beloved, Jesus would tell us to do stuff. The word of God would tell us to do stuff because we in this natural body, we in this flesh. Sometimes when the Lord tells us to do stuff, it's not going to make any sense to us. But if God said it, I said, if God said it, if Jesus said it, you and I need to obey it. Do I have some witnesses? Do I have some Bible readers? If God said it, you and I need to obey it. So think about the lepers. If they said, no, Jesus, we're not going. We're not going. They would not have gotten healed. But as Jesus said, go, they went. And once again, the priest was the one who would say you healed or not. He was the one that would say you are well or not well. He was the one that would say you can re-enter society. He was the one who would say you can go to the temple now. He was the one that you say you can move out from the leper colony and move into society. Now, the priest was the one who would say that. And so they went, they exercised their faith. And as they went, the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed of their leprosy. Now that's good news. That 10 of them got healed of their leprosy. That's really great news. But then look at verse 15 and 16 and after. It's a little problem that arises here. Verse 15 says, And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice, that same voice that he cried out, Jesus have mercy on me, with a loud voice he glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. One of them returned. Are you the one? Are you that one? You know, Jesus is a healer, and so when God does something for you, you ought to give him thanks. You know, when you cry with that loud voice and God comes through and Jesus comes through with that same loud voice, you and I need to go back to him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for seeing me in my situation. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for saving me. All those things. Be sure to thank the Lord this week. Be sure to thank him today. Thank him tomorrow. Thank him Tuesday. Thank him Wednesday. Thank him Thursday. Thank him Friday. Thank him Saturday. Thank him Sunday. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. This guy who came back. You know, the Lord has done many things for us. Have you thanked him? You know, sometimes, when was the last time you prayed and went to our Heavenly Father and not asked him for anything, but just thanked him? When was the last time you just thanked him, not asked him for anything? I had to, my oldest daughter lives in Michigan. She's 31 years old. And I remember when she was in her 20s, her early 20s, she would always call me and she'd be like, Daddy, some of y'all can relate. Every time she called me, she needed something. Daddy, I'm kind of, you know, I got this bill or my car kind of broke down. And can you send me some money? I had to tell her. I said, look here, I love you to death. But don't let every time you call me is when you need something. Don't let me look at caller ID and be like, oh, that's my daughter again. I ain't answering. She going to need something. I said, sometimes I just call to say, how you doing? Sometimes I just call and say, how was your day? Now, sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we treat our Heavenly Father like that. You know, just sometimes just go to God, go to Jesus, and just thank him for who he is. Just thank him for being God. Just thank him for protecting you. Just thank, don't even ask for anything. Just say, Lord, I'm just checking in to thank you. I'm glad you saved me. I'm glad I'm your child. Sometimes just thank him, because you just always ask. That puts a strain on the relationship. Me and my daughter had a strange relationship there for a while. So sometimes I just say thank you. Sometimes I just say thank you. And if the Lord has done something for you, you ought to say thank you. I mean, with that same loud voice. And see, in verse 15 and 16, we see the intensity of this one, the intensity of his thanks. The Bible says he cried out with a loud voice. He said, thank you, Jesus. I'm no longer a leper. Thank you. He cried out with a loud voice, the Bible says, and he glorified God. You know, when God does miracles, when Jesus does miracles, the primary reason is to glorify him. To glorify him, to show him off, and then to let others see, well, he really is God. And so he came back. He glorified God. He boasted in who the Lord was. And then not only that, look at what he did in verse 16. The Bible says he fell down at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. He fell down on his feet, fell at the feet of Jesus. This is a posture. Don't miss this. This is a posture of worship. Somebody might be saying, well, only God deserves worship. But Jesus received the worship of this healed leper. Once again, by the way, this is a good text. This is a good verse showing us the deity of Christ. Showing us that he is Jesus Christ, God the Son. He's not just some mere prophet or some mere healer or just a good man, not a good teacher. No, he is God. He is deity wrapped up in humanity. He is God the Son. He is God, a very God. And Jesus deserves to be thanked. Jesus deserves to be worshiped. There are other places in the text in the Bible, Matthew 28, the latter part of Matthew 28, right before the Great Commission, they worship Jesus. So I don't know who these Jehovah Witnesses are. I don't know who these other people are who talk about Jesus is just a mere man. Now, Jesus, he is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He let people know that he was God. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So either Jesus, I like what C.S. Lewis says, he said Jesus is either three L's. You can't just say he was a good man. He said, number one, okay, Jesus, he really put off the air, or he personified the fact that he is God. So either Jesus was a liar, he lied, he said he was God, but he is not. Or the other L that C.S. Lewis said, either Jesus was a lunatic, he thought he was God, but he really wasn't. He said, if you can't deal with either one of those, the last one that's left, Mother Lawson, is that he is Lord. He is Lord. He's not a liar. He's not a lunatic. That's for sure. He is Lord. He is God in the flesh. And so Jesus, this guy comes back, falls down at his feet, and basically worships Jesus. And Jesus received his worship. He received his worship. This Samaritan, who is really the most unlikeliest one, he is the most unlikeliest one to come back. He came back and said, thank you. Sometimes even in our church settings, sometimes our people who are the most unlikely people, they're the ones who are saying thank you. I mean, you know, God gave you a job, but did you thank him? God saved your soul, but have you thanked him? God healed your body, but have you thanked him? God got you out of that trouble, but did you thank him? He healed or restored your marriage, but did you thank him? He got that child of yours out of tough situations. Did you say thank you? You know, this is about Thanksgiving. We all just say, take a thank you, God, bro. You all just say, thank you, Lord, for being who you are. Thank you for all that you've done for me. I want to thank you during this season. I want to thank you during the next season. I just want to thank you for being who you are. He's worthy to be thanked. He's worthy to be praised. So this one came back. Are you that one? This one came back to say thank you. But as I mentioned earlier, there's a problem. There's a problem in this text. A problem in this text. Verse 17 and 18. And Jesus answered. Jesus is going to call out the problem. He answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? So are you the one, or are you that 9? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Where are the 9? You know, churches all around this city. We in Churchville. Churches all around this city. Churches all around this state. Churches all around this nation. Churches all around this world are asking the same question. Where are the 9? I mean, there are enough lost people. There are enough that God, people in this city that God has done stuff for. Churches all over this city should be packed out. Churches all over this world should be SRO, standing room only. But where are the 9? Where are the ones that God has blessed abundantly? And that's really all of us. God is so awesome. He blesses everybody. He blesses the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the just and the unjust, the saint and the sinner. The rain comes down on the just and the unjust. We call that common grace. So even a pagan, even a lost person need to say thank you, Jesus, every now and then. But definitely us, the redeemed of God, those of us who say we are born again, those of us who are Christians, we need to be the first one in line. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for all that you do for me. We need to be first in line. The redeemed, the Bible said, the redeemed of the Lord say so. We say it with our lips and with our lifestyle. So where are the 9? Where are the nine during Sunday morning 11 a.m. service? Watch this. Where are the nine during Sunday blast at 9:30 in the morning? Now, most of you go to work before 9. Some of you go, that's too early. But most of you go to work, if you're working at 9 to 5, most of you go to work before 9:30. You don't tell your boss, well, that's too early. I ain't coming in at 7 or 8, but I'm going to come in about 10 or 11. Try that. You won't have that job too long. But where are the nine? Where are the nine doing Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting? Where are the nine? Where are you? Where are the nine? Again, Jesus blesses the whole world. Call it common grace. But again, those of us who are born again, those of us who are saved, we need to be the main ones. Nobody on planet Earth should be more grateful and more thankful than us. I said, nobody on planet Earth should be more grateful and more thankful than us. Nobody's been blessed like we've been blessed. And nobody, you know, people have, I'm talking about the Christians, we've had hell canceled and heaven guaranteed. We baptized Marquise this morning. I mean, nobody can be more grateful. Nobody should be more thankful than the child of God. Nobody should be more grateful than the person who's been saved, who's been redeemed and been blessed to grow a little bit in Christ. Nobody should be more thankful than us. Nobody should be more thankful than us. So Lord, thank you for giving me health and strength. Thank you for not only saving me, but giving me a daily relationship with you. I can commune with you. Matter of fact, Jesus said he knocks on the door. This is primarily to the believer. He knocks on the door. If anybody opens up his heart, opens up the door and let Jesus come in, he said, I will commune with you. I will sup with you. I will hang out with you. Oh, what a blessing. We can hang out with the most powerful person in the whole universe. Now, most of us, if we can hang out with an athlete or a star or I was about to say the president of the United States. But let me skip over that. Most of us be like, I want to hang out with them. But we can hang out with Jesus. We can hang out with Jesus. We can hang out with Jesus. Jesus, as a matter of fact, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Just hang out with me. Hang around me. Follow my words. Jesus, if you love me, keep my commandments. We get the awesome opportunity. And check this out. God has provided for all of our needs. And then many of our wants and desires. Who wouldn't want to serve a God like this? Who would want to think of God like this? Who provides for all of your needs? He's Jehovah Jireh. But also many of our wants and desires. Guys, I'm going to pour a little extra stuff on for you. Jesus, as I said earlier, he woke us up with a sound mind this morning. You need to be saying, Jesus, I can't make it without you. If I didn't have you, I would have lost my mind. So be like the foreigner. Be like the Samaritan. Be like the one and give thanks. Be the one. Be the one and give thanks. Not like the other nine, but be like the one and give thanks. Look at verse 19. I'm almost through. Verse 19. Look at what it says. And Jesus said to him, since he was the only one who came back, out of the 10, one came back, Brother Rucker, but the other nine did not. And I'm just asking the question this morning, are you the one or are you the nine? This one who came back, look at verse 19. And Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, in case you missed this, it should just jump out at you, though. But I know first time I read this years ago, it kind of baffled me for a moment. I thought the 10, I thought they were already well. You know, Jesus had already cleansed them, right? That's what verse 14 said. Verse 14 said, as they went, they were cleansed, right? Well, they were cleansed. All of them, all 10 were cleansed. Watch this. Physically, their medical issue was taken care of. They were cleansed. Their leprosy was gone. But it appears that this one, the one who came back, the one who came back to say thank you, it looks as though this one was healed spiritually. All 10 got healed physically, but Jesus healed this one spiritually. He said, go your way. You are made well. Your faith has made you well. See, Jesus is not just a physical healer. More importantly, he's a spiritual healer. See, if I'm sick, say if I'm a pagan, I'm lost, I'm going to say, if I'm sick and God heals me, I'm going to either get sick again or I'm eventually to die and end up in hell. So the most important healing, hear me well, the most important healing is a spiritual healing. The most important birth is to be born again. The most important thing is to have that heart of stone taken out and a heart of flesh put in. The most important thing is to be brought out of darkness into God's marvelous light. See, the nine, they were healed physically, but by the text, clearly they were still far from the Lord. But this one who came back, he not only was healed physically, Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You and I got a relationship now. So Jesus is not only a physical healer, but more importantly, he's a spiritual healer. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save those who were lost. That was his main mission, his rescue mission. He didn't come just to heal people or give sight to the blind. He did. To raise people from the dead. He did. Cast out demons. He did. Allow the lame to walk and the mute to talk. He did. He did all that. But that wasn't the main reason he came. The main reason he came is to save lost sinners like you and me. The main reason he came was to redeem us. The main reason he came was to heal us spiritually. Not just physically, but spiritually. But spiritually. So you ought to be thankful today if you like that one and you're healed spiritually. Not only that, the last thing, last point I'm going to make. Jesus, of course, heals not only physically, but spiritually. But also, beloved, giving thanks is crucial to a close, vibrant, growing relationship with the Lord. Giving thanks, this is the Thanksgiving season, right? Giving thanks is important. It's vital. It's crucial to a close, vibrant, growing relationship with our Lord. That's why the Bible, we had it up on the screen earlier. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I mean, we're told to give thanks. And if we are insufficient on the thankful category, it's going to hinder your relationship with the Lord. It's going to hinder you growing in the Lord. You got to have an attitude of gratitude. So thank him. Watch this. Don't just call on him when you're in trouble. I mean, do call on him when you're in trouble, but don't just call on him just when you're in trouble. Call on him on, quote unquote, a good day. Call on him when everything's going smooth in your life. Call him when all your bills are paid and your relationships are right and all that. Call on him then. Don't just call on him during tough time. Now, call on him in tough time, but don't let that be your only time. So Jesus, once again, he's in the saving business. Just call on him. Let me call on a couple of witnesses from the scriptures. Since Jesus told this leper, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Isn't that a blessing? Your faith has made you well. You know, Jesus met somebody in Matthew 9:22. He tells the lady with the issue of blood, she touched the hem of his garment. Jesus said, your faith has made you well. In Luke, you might want to write this down. In Luke chapter 7, starting about verse 37 or so, there was a woman who the Bible refers to as a sinner. She was basically like a prostitute. And she comes to Jesus with an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And she washed his feet with her tears. A sinful woman. She wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. She was repentant. She was mourning over her sin. She came to the only one, came to Jesus, that he might forgive her of her sins. And she kissed his feet. And then Jesus said, her sins, which were many. He didn't minimize the sins for the deal. He said, her sins, which were many, are forgiven. He tells her later on, he said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. We come to Christ in a rough situation, just like this sinful lady in Luke 7, and cry out to him for salvation. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You come with a repentant heart, and Jesus can save you as only Jesus can. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I cried out to him in August of 92. I cried out and said, Lord, change me. Change me. And he met me right at my point of need and saved my soul, just like he did the lady in Luke 7. I'm glad that he's still in the saving business. Oh, somebody ought to say hallelujah. I'm glad he's in the saving. If nothing, I'm thankful that I'm born again. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful I'm a child of God. I'm thankful that I'm able to go and share the gospel, the good news with other people. Matter of fact, I'm thankful that I can go and try to make disciples. I'm thankful that God has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we get an opportunity to join in with him with what he's doing. Jesus met a guy one time that was hanging out in the graveyards. I'm closing now. I'm just talking about how if you cry out to Jesus If you cry out to him, he can meet you at your point of need. And just be the one. Don't be like the nine. Just be the one and give him thanks. Jesus met a man in the graveyard once that he was possessed by demons, legion, many thousands of them. And he came to Jesus and Jesus cast out the demons. And the man was sitting at the feet of, next time they saw him, he was breaking chains and doing all kind of foolish stuff. But he met Jesus Christ in the tombs, in the graveyard. And the Bible said that Jesus cast out the demons. And the next time people saw him, they said he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, sound and in his right mind. He went from being a lunatic, a demoniac, to being sound in his right mind. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, knocked on the door, came to Jesus by night, and Jesus told him, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And then the next time we see Nicodemus toward the end of the Gospels, Nicodemus, along with Simon and Cyrene, they were the ones there that took Jesus' body down from the cross. So it appears between John chapter 3 or so to the end of the Gospel that Nicodemus got born again, got saved. Why? Because he came to Jesus. He had an interest in Jesus. Paul, who was known as Saul of Tarsus, he was persecuting the church, taking people out. He hated Christians, but he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, and Jesus saved his soul. So Paul went from being a church persecutor to a church planter. Jesus can do that in our lives. So these lepers, once again, all of them were sick. They were sin sick. They were sick with leprosy, and they were also sin sick. But they came to Jesus. Their life totally messed up and jacked up, not fit for regular society. They came to Jesus and Jesus healed them. Perhaps your life was like that. Inwardly even. Messed up, jacked up, but you came to the Master. You came to Jesus. You cried out to Jesus. You cried out to Jesus, and he, as only he can, cleanse you and forgave you of your sins. So you are right now. You're okay. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. So you and I this morning should be the people just full of gratitude. Again, the Bible said the redeemed of the Lord say so. So are you the nine? Or are you the one? Are you that one? Be like the Samaritan. Say thank you, Jesus. We ought to say thank you again with our lips and with our lifestyle. Somebody ought to say thank you. Don't be like the nine. Be like the one and say thank you. Be like that one. So are you the one to give thanks? Again, thank God today. Don't even wait for Thursday. Thank him tomorrow. Thank him Tuesday. Thank him Wednesday. And yeah, thank him on Thursday, but thank him on Friday. Thank him on Saturday. Thank him next week. Thank him next month. Thank him next year. If you're blessed to see next year, 2018, bless him. Thank him in 2019. If we're blessed to see him in, bless him in 2020 and thank him in 2020. If we're blessed to see that, thank him for once again, salvation. Thank him for deliverance. Thank him for your Christian growth. Thank him for your family. Thank him for your marriage. Thank him for your singleness. Thank him for joy. Thank him for your peace. Thank him for your hope. Thank him for a promised place in heaven. Thank him for your food. Thank him for waking you up this morning. Thank him for the clothes you have on your back. Thank him for reasonable health and strength. Thank him for your church family. Thank him for providing for all of your needs. I'm just saying, you and I have so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. You and I just ought to thank him, 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 and ought to thank him some more. He's worthy to. We should be thanking him all the time with our lips and with our lifestyle. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Thank him for being who he is. Thank him for being an all-powerful God. Thank him for being an almighty God. Thank him for watching over you and watching over me. Jesus sees you, the Bible said. Thank him for being a God who sees. Thank him for being our shepherd. Thank him for being our keeper, our healer. Oh, you ought to thank him. 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 Just thank him for being who he is. Just thank him for being who he is. Just thank him for being who he is. I'm not even talking about all the stuff that he does for us, but just thank him for being who he is. He's a God who's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's a God who's omniscient. He's all knowing. He's a God who's omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time. Even today, we got people all over, you know, different places in the city, different parts of this state and nation. We can call and we say, God, watch over so-and-so. Watch over my son. Watch over my daughter. Watch over my mama. I know they're in another city or where. Hey, God is omnipresent. He's an almighty God. So just thank him for who he is. Just meditate on who he is. And you ought to say thank you. You ought to say, be like the one. Be the one, not like the nine. Be the one to say thank you. Be the one to say thank you. If you can stand, please stand. And even as you stand, be thanking him. Even as you stand up, be thanking him. As I often say, think and then thank. Just think about who he is. And then thank him. Are you the one? Be the one. Be the one that's full of gratitude. Be the one that's full of thanksgiving. Let thanksgiving just flow out of your heart. God said, I love a cheerful giver. I love a cheerful server. So even as you serve him, even as you obey him, do it thankfully. Do it gratefully, not begrudgingly. Say, God, I thank you. Nobody got to twist my arm. The preacher don't have to try to get me to do it. So-and-so don't have to get me to do it. I'm just going to thank you. I'm just going to thank you because you are worthy. You are worthy. You've done so much for me. You've done so much for me. You've been really better. I used to not understand it, but I understand it now. You've been really better to me than I've been to myself. And so I thank you. He watches over our family. He watches over our kids and in some cases the grandkids. And especially as they begin to grow up and be teenagers, you have to kind of let them go. And then God watches over them. I say, God watches over them. The text says, once again, Jesus saw them. Be thankful. You can be like a leper. You can be a far off. You can be accursed in many ways. But if you cry out to the Lord, the Bible says, the word of God says in many places that Jesus sees us. He hears our cry. Call upon me. God said, call upon me and I will answer you. It says that in several places. And I should have a few witnesses that you've called out to God. You've cried out to Jesus for various things in your life and he has heard your cry. So you ought to just say thank you. You ought to just say thank you. He's a great God. If there's anyone here this morning who does not know him,